story this morning is in regards to the Ovens and Murray Football League, because we believe that last night a decision was made by the league to strip Wangaratta, the Wangaratta Magpies, of the premiership, which they won by only a couple of points last year in 2022. And the guru there for the Weekly Times, he's been covering the Ovens and Murray Football League for a long time, David Johnston, joins us on the line now to explain the situation. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. So tell us, how have the league landed at this decision to strip Wangaratta of last year's premiership?
Well, as we speak right now, we're still awaiting the official confirmation of the board's decision made last night. But multiple sources clearly, you know, have told us what's happened, and no one's disputing that. So we're still waiting for the official confirmation of that decision and what that all means, and to hear, you know, from the league directly. But this all goes back to, a couple of weeks ago, the AFL Northeast Board, which sits over the top of the all the footy leagues in every part of the state, or particularly the northeast part of the state, because there's all sort of different regions, of course. And they handed down a $28,000 fine to Wangaratta, told them that they couldn't earn points from the first two games of the season, and stripped, you know, with a player point system now in place across all regional leagues, they, you know, lost 4 points. But there's been a lot of commentary, a lot of reaction to say that that didn't go far enough, and there's been, you know, calls from, you know, every corner of the state and everywhere in between for Wang to actually lose their premiership, to send a real message that the salary cap is fair income.
Dave, is it known the nature of the $28,000? Is it a small number of large payments for marquee players, or is it dribs and drabs?
Yes. Yeah. This is the explanation, and when the initial news came out 3 weeks ago, it was very vague as to what exactly happened. But digging away, I, you know, was able to get some understanding of the chain of events that led them to, you know, putting a disciplinary, you know, committee in place to investigate the breach. And it was my understanding, and it hasn't been challenged by anybody, that one Wangaratta player received an extra payment. And the club also failed to name all players who received remuneration for playing last year. And that pushed them over the league cap of $125,000. And the errors weren't picked up until the end of the season, when Wangaratta was reviewing its, you know, financial statements for the year. But
did Wang, you know, self-audit and reveal it? Have they almost owned up to it, type thing?
But at that point, but it's also been confirmed by AFL Victoria that Wang had been under investigation prior to it, you know, self-reporting. So there was some inconsistencies that, you know, that emerged late in the year, and from that point they were, you know, in the gun.
Will they have the opportunity to appeal this decision if it is handed down?
Yeah, well, again, just waiting. I don't know who you can appeal to, because they declined to appeal the sanctions handed down by AFL Northeast Border, which, you know, was under the auspice of AFL Victoria, the governing body. So I'm not sure whether they can go back to appeal the decision to the AFL Victoria or AFL Northeast Border, which they, you know, accepted their previous, you know, sanctions.
We're hoping to have a chat to the chairman of the league at some point this morning, and I'll put this question to him as well, Dave. How concerning is it, these under-the-table payments in country football, which are, you know, in a lot of ways commonly accepted, that go on, not just in this league, I'm assuming, but right across Victoria, payments that aren't on the books as such. How concerning is it for country football broadly?
Well, it's sort of like the elephant in the room to a degree. Let everyone, you know, suspects it goes on. You know, there's all sorts of weird and wonderful theories. But until your club actually gets pinged and in this position, that we, you know, we get to learn some insight as to what's, you know, what goes on, what, you know, and what has transpired here.
David, what's the motivation to pay players more than what would seem a reasonable fee? We were talking about it just at the start of the show, about what, you know, I mean, obviously it's to win a premiership and there's a bit of local pride, but a lot of these players are out of towners that don't even train, so there's not a sense of local identity there anyway. Like, what where does the money come from to, say, pay an individual player $800 from a game to come up from the city or something like that? And to what end? I mean, is it really worth the premiership points? Is there something I'm missing here about the motivation to pay such good money to people playing up the bush?
Yeah, everyone who plays football wants to win a premiership. And, you know, it depends how far a club wants to go. And as you say, it's been the elephant in the room since the salary cap and the player points were sort of made more, you know, there's a lot more rigour around reporting of that. And it's really, in my opinion, it's only the player points is the only lever that can really put a brake on, you know, clubs spending, because, you know, you can only play with so many points.
But if a team wins the premiership, does the local town experience some sort of a boom out of it temporarily?
There's pride and all the things that normally go on with winning a premiership, but, you know, things move on pretty quickly onto the next season. And, clearly there's pride in, you know, winning a flag. Everyone wants to remember that. But under these circumstances now, there's, you know, this one's clearly tainted.
David, is country...
Well, there's no flag as we speak right now.
Is country...
And, you know, this is also coming off, you know, now 2 years of, you know, no flags awarded because of COVID.
Is country football, in your eyes, in a healthy position right now?
Well, look, throughout the off-season, and it's created all the headlines, you know, there's been, you know, or five or six clubs have gone into recess or had teams go into recess, you can look at that and say, yep, there's a crisis at country football, because everyone's, you know, all those clubs have experienced player shortages for some reason. It's a monumental decision to put a team into recess, because, you know, and even in this league, like, the Evans and Murray's been in the news all summer because Cora Rutherglen also is one of the teams that play against Wangaratta. And, you know, they had an unbelievable chain of events where they couldn't appoint a coach, then the players started to leave, and then they got smashed by floods, and it was just a perfect storm, really, that probably tipped them over the edge. But they've got a long way to come back. They've got to find, you know, they've put three footy teams into recess, and they've got to find 70 players to reboot them next year. That's huge.
0416 90 50 52, if this has piqued your interest, or if you want to call in on anything, 1300 652 927. Dave, just a last one from me. I'm just trying to get my head around the scale of these country grand finals, and I'm looking at the photos of the printout of the Wangaratta Magpies, and the back panorama, you know, the grandstands are, and the tiers are really full. What sort of an event is one of these grand finals locally?
Well, traditionally, the Ovens and Murray Grand Final, given good weather and, you know, an enticing matchup of teams, like last year, Wang and Yarra, after 2 years of, you know, no Grand Finals, no footy with COVID, it drew a massive crowd, like, you know, in the order of 10,000 people. So,
wow.
Ovens and Murray's, you know, had a long-standing reputation of being one of the strongest clubs, you know, strongest leagues in the state. And
so the region stands still. If, like, if you're up in the Wang region, it stands still on that day, and everyone's at the footy.
That's right. People know it's on. There's huge, you know, local media interest in it. You know, and also, you know, anyone involved in footy probably knows someone who's played or, you know, been involved with a club in the Ovens and Murray.
Hey, David, appreciate your time this morning explaining the situation to our listeners. And it's an issue that it's not relevant to everyone, but we do have a large listenership in regional Victoria, and country football is at the heart of regional Victoria. And we do have a lot of listeners in that particular area as well. So I'm sure they're you know, keen to know what's going on. And as a follow-up, I know you say the decision hasn't been officially finalised just yet, but I think we can expect that to be pretty imminent, because the chairman of the Ovens and Murray Footy League, David Sinclair, will be on Breakfast with Half tomorrow morning to explain the situation further. So we can look forward to that. Dave, appreciate your time.
Good on you. Thanks.
David Johnston there, the journalist at the Weekly Times, who penned that article.